Here we are on the Congressional Corner with Representative Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District. Paul Tonko, I want to ask you, you've got a leadership team up there in Congress. You've got Nancy Pelosi, who you've always admired. You have Adam Schiff, who is basically leading the charge on this impeachment or leading the investigation. Are you confident you have the best people?
Oh, absolutely. I think that... You know, certainly Speaker Pelosi is one who works with the facts. She is one who keeps great structure in play and brings the caucus together. It's a very diverse caucus in many, many ways. And I think that the leader has moved us along in a way that responds to some of the pressures of the moment in a very thoughtful manner. That's based on academics and what's best for the country. She doesn't get swayed by public opinion surveys. She is always out to pursue what is best, what is right, and what is searching for truth. With Adam Schiff, Representative Schiff, my colleague from California, has a very bright mind. He's very much, I think, gifted for that role. As the chairman of the committee that has a lot of responsibility right now, going through the call for an impeachment inquiry, which then drills down and garners information that is the cornerstone of doing this whole procedure effectively. We need to deal with facts, not fiction. And I know it's an emotional exercise, but somewhat restrain the emotion if we can, so that we can do the right thing as we uphold the Constitution to which we took an oath.
Have you ever talked to Schiff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's...
What's he like? What's he really like?
Very approachable, very, very much into, you know, all the garnering of facts and putting the pieces of a puzzle together. He's a very analytical type and one who has keen recall. And again, very, very modest, very approachable, that will update you. He'll update you at any time when you talk to him, and he can, you know, and he moves forward with very high integrity, I think. You know, he doesn't get swayed by some of the comments thrown his way that might be negative, but rather, you know, stays focused on the work he needs to do, and I think runs a good committee. I think he's respected by his fellow committee members.
In the beginning, it looked like Jerry Nadler from New York's Manhattan's West Side, was going to be the major force in all of this. But he seems to have been moved aside or stepped aside to let Schiff be in control. Schiff,
well, I think, yeah. You know, there were about five or six committees, the Judiciary with Jerry Nadler, one of them, Intelligence with Adam Schiff, the other. And... you know, you even have folks like Elijah Cummings, a seasoned representative in Congress, all very gifted, able people. But I think what the leadership has done here is funnel it toward one committee. And there seems to be a lot of relevance to the Intelligence Committee right now, working on a number of these issues that they're trying their best to draw more information through subpoena efforts and the like. So I think it's kind of a natural flow that we have Adam doing this. But make no mistake about it, the Judiciary Committee, led by Chairman Nadler, is still very active in the process, very much called upon. And Jerry, again, a very gifted soul.
Okay, so let's move on to a different place.
And sure.
Let's talk about Chris Collins. Your other colleague from Buffalo, who is now basically pleading guilty to having broken the law, and he's out of there. My assessment is it's a Republican district. Probably get another Republican, although I asked Governor Cuomo whether he'd let Kathy Hochul go to run again in that district. She has subsequently said she wants no part of it. What do you make of the whole thing?
Well, I think... evidently, this was a decision that responded to the letter and spirit of the Law of the Stock Act that was championed by my former colleague, the late Louise Slaughter. And she talked about insider information that could then, you know, go towards bringing money your way. And she found that to be a vulgar opportunity if people were going to utilize it. And so she put together the Stock Act that said, look, if you have this insider information, it would be illegal. And it pretty much addressed this situation. And I think that my colleague made the right decision. You know, the district will move on now. But one of my cherished opportunities was to, in the year that Louise had passed, at the end of session, one of the final measures we took up was the renaming of the Stock Act, the Louise Slaughter Act, so that it would have been applied here and certainly drove, I think, a lot of the decision-making. You know, it's just, again, people deserve utmost integrity and fairness and just operation, honest operations from their elected officials. And that's what the Stock Act was about.
And yet, Paul Tunco, don't you think that so much of what goes on the stock market is based on insider information of one kind or another? Somebody knows something, passes it on.
I would assume that is the case. And, you know, so many times we use that stock market as the bellwether of whether the economy is doing well. It's important. But what I think we need to keep in mind is that about 20% of the American public invest in that stock market activity. And so when you check out the economy and how well it's doing or how well people are doing, you want to make certain that you're talking to all folks and getting a good sampling of what the assessment is out there. And for many, the economy isn't working for them right now. And so it's important for us to continue to advocate for public policy that brings along those who have been skipped over by efforts to bolster the economy.
Obviously, your colleague, Anthony Brindisi, who is what we could only call, I believe, and I don't mean this in a bad way, a blue dog Democrat. He has a very conservative district. We have him on the show a great deal. Clearly, it is important for him to walk a very fine line between, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats. And now Claudia Tenney, who he beat, but not by much, is back to run against him again. Will you help him?
Oh, absolutely. I've known Anthony for a long time and knew him as an assembly member, and also enjoy working with him as a colleague in the House. I know he's working very, very hard. He has some good assignments with agriculture and transportation, so that being high concerns for him. So he, I think he's devoted to the people of the district and has good rapport. I think he's approachable, which is, I think, a hallmark of his representation, which would, I think, speak very favorably, be very a very solid strength for him when he goes to get his report card from the people of the district.
So, Tunk, I guess I can call you that. Yeah. When you say you're going to help somebody, how do you help them?
Well, you know, if there are certain issues that he would like to have addressed in his district, issues that I'm familiar with or championing in terms of policy reform, anything from the innovation economy to the opioid epidemic that we've been focused on, getting legislation done there, or with infrastructure, water infrastructure and the like, any environmental concerns, pollution, air, clean water activity, you know, would want to work with him in that regard, or just simply, you know, walking the district with him or appearing at events with him. So, you know, he's a neighbor district, and, you know, I am very much a believer in doing what we can to strengthen the efforts of the Mohawk Valley. So we're both Mohawk Valley-based legislators, and that creates a certain order of kinship.
And you'll go over there and you'll knock on doors with him and you'll be there for him. So I guess that's what this is about.
Absolutely. And an interactive thing. You know, I think there is a distinct defense of the middle-income community, those looking to ascend the middle-income under the Democratic tent in the Democratic caucus. And whether it's a blue dog approach or others to the left of that, I think it speaks to an investment in the human agenda, workforce development, certainly health care provisions, education reform. These are things that I think speak to the fabric of the Mohawk Valley communities and their needs and their desires. And they're certainly warranted to have that kind of focus come their way.
So we're out of time, but I wanted to ask you very, very quickly, does it help him that it's a Trump election year?
Oh, I think so. I think there's going to be a lot of concern with, you know, his failed leadership and kind of
Trump's
like disregard for law, constitution, and commandment in a sense. I think people will sense that. They're beginning to sense it. And I think that will be a help for Representative Brindisi.
Paul Tonko, otherwise known as the Tonk, we thank you so much for being with us. And when we come back the next time, I got more for you.
Okay. Thank you, sir.